cha also aham I na not bhuvam to the planet Earth yasye shall go nara the people in general mayi in me in my water amrijanti cleanse agam the reactions of their sinful activity rijami I shall wash tat that agam accumulation of sinful reactions qua unto whom aham I rajan O king tatra on this fact vichintyatam please consider carefully and decide. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O king, I do not wish to go down to the planet Earth, for there the people will bathe in my water to cleanse themselves of the reactions of their sinful deeds. When all these sinful reactions accumulate in me, how shall I become free from them? You must consider this very carefully. Purport. Supreme Personality of Godhead says, Sarva Dharma Prajaja Mamekam Sharanam Vraja Ahang Tvang Sarapa Pebyo Mokshi Syami Masuchaha. Abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender unto me. I shall deliver you from all sinful reaction. Do not fear. Bhagavad Gita 18:66. The Supreme Personality of Godhead can accept the reactions of anyone sinful deeds and neutralize them because he is pavitra, pure, like the sun, which is never contaminated by any worldly infection. Tejiyasam na doshaya vane sarva bhujo yata. One who is very powerful is not affected by any sinful activity. But here we see that Mother Ganges fears being burdened with the sins of all the people in the general who would bathe in her waters. This indicates that no one but the Supreme Personality of Godhead is able to neutralize reactions of sinful deeds, whether one's own or those of others. Sometimes the spiritual master, after accepting a disciple, must take charge of that disciple's past sinful activities, and being overburdened must sometimes suffer, if not fully, then partially, for the sinful acts of the disciple. Every disciple, therefore, must be very careful not to commit sinful activities after initiation. The poor spiritual master is kind and merciful enough to accept a disciple and partially suffer for the disciple's sinful activities. But Krishna, being merciful to his servant, neutralizes the reactions of sinful deeds for the servant who engages in preaching his glories. Even Mother Gandhi's fear of the sinful reactions of the people in general was anxious about how she could counteract the burden of these sins. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains what the origin of sin is, where Arjuna asks him in the verse, Svadharmam Shreyan Svadharmo Viguna Paradharma Sunustita Shreyadharma Nidinam Shreyat Paradharmo Bhayavaha. That it's better to perform one's own prescribed duty imperfectly than to accept someone else's duty. That destruction of the path of, on the path of one's own duty is better, for to follow someone else's duty is dangerous. In other words, everyone actually has a duty. Everyone's duty is to serve Vishnu. Jagavai Vishnu, Jagnatat Kamanon Yatra, Lokoyam Karma Bandhanai. Taratam Apikanti Amukta Sangha Samajara. That work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work binds one to this material world. Perform prescribed duties for his satisfaction, O son of Kunti. In this way, he'll always remain unattached and free from bondage. Now, there are duties according to Varna and Ashram. The Varna and Ashram duties are all meant for sacrificing for Vishnu. They're not just meant to, you're supposed to do this, so you do it. It's not some mechanical arrangement. The whole idea is that the Shudras assist the Vaishyas, who protect the cows, who give the milk, who create the ghee, as used in the sacrifice. The Brahmins chant the mantras while they put the ghee in the sacrifice as an offering. And the Kshatriyas arrange for the fire sacrifice with all the paraphernalia necessary. And by the pure chanting of the Brahmins, the sacrifice becomes successful because everything is based upon sound. Sound doesn't mean we just mechanically chant something. There has to be some intention behind the sound, some purpose behind it. So the purpose of the Vedas is to satisfy Krishna. So the Brahmins have to perfectly chant the mantras in a way that satisfies Vishnu. The right meter, the right tone, the right syllables. Although it's a mechanical process, still, one has to perfectly do it in order to Krishna to be pleased, in order to have a proper sacrifice. So, at least in this material world, we're learning that we're servants. Even if we don't like who we're serving, we're not conscious who we're serving. At least we find out we're not God, and we perform our duty. Now, of course, we know in this age, no one's performing sacrifice, at least not the Vedic sacrifices. Therefore, how can anyone have any duty? Who are we going to serve? Where are the Vaishyas who are growing the ghee, who are taking care of the cows, who are giving the ghee for the sacrifice, and all the other ingredients also? Where are they? They don't exist. And where are the Kshatriyas who are going to arrange the sacrifice, and what to speak of Brahmins who could chant the mantras to have some effect? We chant mantras, and I don't know what the effect is, but anyhow, we breathe deeper. We get to smell the ghee burning in the fire. And we do a little exercise, probably the only exercise of the day, by throwing the grains in the fire. That's our physical exercise for the day. Other than that, the demigods aren't coming to our sacrifices, nor are they showering, or they're not showering any gold that I can see, or even any rain. But at least we're chanting the names of some, hopefully, Krishna. So actually it's the chanting of the holy names in this age that have a result. All sacrifices are meant for the holy name. That in this age, as we know, Harinama, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nashteva, 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 Gandhi Anyata. Then in this age of Kali, karma won't work, jnana won't work, yoga won't work. The only thing that's going to work is the chanting of the holy names. And therefore everyone is meant to sacrifice the chanting of the holy names. But how many people have any faith in the holy name? That they're going to sacrifice for it. Even the members of our Hare Krishna movement, are they actually thinking, even ourselves living in the temple, are we really thinking every moment, whatever I'm doing is for sacrificing, for spreading the glories of the holy name? We're lucky if we can chant our rounds, 16 a day. We're lucky if we can pay any attention when we're chanting. We're lucky if we don't fall asleep when we're chanting. What to speak of sacrificing our entire existence for the sake of the holy name? We don't believe that the holy name is the holy name. Still, if one is willing to sacrifice his energy to spreading the holy name, then the holy name will be pleased to reveal himself so that we can actually start chanting Hare Krishna with more attention, with more feeling. We're not paying attention because we're too much distracted by all the things I think I have to control in this world. And all the my plans for controlling these things so I can actually get some happiness. Have the perfect place to sleep, the perfect diet, perfect soulmate, and completely secure, so I'll live here forever and ever. So we're distracted by all these plans. But if we actually become absorbed in trying to serve the holy name, as Prabhupada writes in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that if we have some intelligence, we like to study scripture, we like to understand things philosophically, then we can explain to people about how to chant the holy name, why to chant the holy name, how to chant the holy name, what we can expect from chanting the holy name, what stage we're at the holy chanting the holy name, and what's the next stage? How to avoid the 10 offenses. So if we're not so intelligent, we're not such an expert preacher, then at least if we have some organization skill, we can try to organize the Harinam, or organize the deity worship, or organize the prasadam distribution, or the distribution of books. We can try to organize something, so that the preaching can go on in a systematic way. And if we can't do that, we're too caught up with just trying to maintain ourselves, then at least we should try to contribute something financially to the spreading of the holy name so that the organizers have something to organize. So that the organization is done in such a way as the preaching becomes effective, that people can actually understand what we're talking about. It's not some fanatical Hare Krishnas who lost their hair and are now wearing bedrobes because they're poorer than, as they say in English, a church mouse. Mice are usually pretty poor and churches are usually poor. So a mouse who's unfortunate enough to live in a church is considered extremely poor. There's no food distributed in most churches, so all he gets is a wafer once in a while when the priest isn't looking. So they're considered poor as a church mouse. So people look at us, the Hare Krishna movement, they're poorer than church mouse. They're singing in the street as Kolavekar Sridhar. Kolavekar Sridhar was a great devotee of Lord Chaitanya. He used to sell bananas. He had a banana tree in Bengal. If you ever go to Bengal, there are literally millions of banana trees. If you're not careful walking down the street, a bunch of bananas will fall off the tree and hit you. There's so many bananas in Bengal. Is that right? Kayla. What's that? Coconuts too. But he wasn't selling coconuts, he was selling bananas. And he was using half of his income. He was only selling a few bananas, maybe some banana leaves, and some banana flowers, banana bark. And he was selling it and giving half his income to the Mother Ganges and to worship Ganges. And he was living in a house, a shack, but he was so poor he couldn't even repair the roof, so therefore the water would leak in when it would rain into the shack he was living in. And all he had was a rusty water pot to drink from. But Lord Chaitanya every day came and tried to bargain with him, trying to bargain him to buy some banana leaves or bananas or whatever else. And there would be a big argument, there would be an argument between Kolavekar Sridhar and Lord Chaitanya every day. over the price of the bananas and the banana leaves. So this went on for a long time. But the point was that at night, because he was a pure devotee, he would always be chanting the holy names. But his neighbors would, he was actually, as far as I understand, in our first mandala, Mayapur Parikrama, we stopped off at where Kalavekar Shidha's shack used to be, and it's right by the Jagannath Mandira, if you know where that is. So he'd be chanting all night, and the people, he'd keep the people awake who lived around him. So they thought that this man, he's so poor that at night he's howling out of hunger. He unfortunately doesn't worship Durga Devi. Instead, he's worshiping Mother Ganges, and therefore he's poor, so poor. But now he's keeping us awake, howling at night out of hunger. So let us pick up his shack and throw it into the Ganges and get rid of the person. Because they cannot understand the glories of devotee. They cannot understand the purpose of chanting the holy names. Because they're under the spell of the illusory energy. And therefore, what to speak of sacrificing for the holy name, they become antagonistic towards those who are doing the same thing, like Hiranyakashipu. He did not appreciate Prahlad Maharaj's glorifying Lord Vishnu. And instead of appreciating, he tried to kill Prahlad. In any case, this is the world we're living in, and it's our duty to spread the holy name. But especially to those who have a little receptivity towards it, we shouldn't look for the Hiranyakashipus as a challenge. Let me find the worst person in the crowd and try to convince him. No, we should look for people who might be receptive to the holy name so they could actually perform sacrifice, chant the holy name, and then come to the platform and be able to contribute something to the deities, to the holy name and the deities, to the Sankirtan movement. And then come to the platform where they'll sacrifice their energies in spreading the holy name. They'll actively participate. And ultimately to the platform where they experience Krishna and his holy name and they can explain it to others. So that's the process. And it's all by the mercy of Krishna and his representatives in the holy name. We can go from one stage to the next. Otherwise, if we're not willing to sacrifice for the holy name, at least we'll come back another phase of Kali Yuga and have another opportunity to sacrifice again. Hopefully not any less pleasant than our opportunity is now. Therefore, as we see here, Mother Ganges was worried about the sinful reactions of those who bathe in her water. Because everything everyone is doing in this material world is more or less sinful to different degrees, that's all. What to speak of Kali Yuga, everyone is simply interested in cultivating lust, anger, and greed. And anyone who comes in association with such persons, they become influenced by lust, anger, and greed. This is glorified. If you're more lusty than anyone else, you're considered to be healthy and glorifiable. If you're greedy, then people interview you because they want to find out how to become as greedy as you are. They don't interview paupers, they interview billionaires. This is how I cheated everyone to become rich. This is how I bought the government off, I bought the newspapers off, I bought everyone off with my money so I can make more money. I can cheat more people. Oh, you're our hero. You're our leader. The cheaters and the cheated. So therefore, anyone who comes in contact with them, anyone who comes in contact with those who are spent their lives cheating others and being cheated, obviously they have a few bad habits they have to correct. Few, not only habits, a few mental misconceptions, a few intellectual misunderstandings, a few impulses coming from the false ego. that they have to satisfy through lust, anger, and greed. And therefore anyone, Gurur na sasyat, Svajano na sasyat, Pita na sasyat, anyone who wants to become a real teacher, then he has to teach in such a way as to deliver his followers from the cycle of birth and death. Try to elevate their consciousness, purify them. And therefore by such association, if one is not strong enough, one may also become affected. When Brahmatirtha was Bob Cohen, and he asked Prabhupada about, does the spiritual master have to suffer because of the reactions that he acquires from his disciples? So Prabhupada said, maybe, maybe not, just like a fire. If you have a big fire, then whatever you put into the fire immediately gets burned. But the fire is not so big, then if you put something into it, it might put the fire out. Or the fire may have a difficulty burning it. And from one point of view, if the disciple thinks, I can go on, just like some religious, like the Christians, they believe that Jesus Christ suffered for my sins, and therefore I can go on sinning and let him suffer. I go to the heavenly planets, and poor Jesus Christ has to stay here and continuously suffer. So that kind of mentality is demoniac. The idea is that we may perform sinful activities, and then we vow not to perform any more sinful activities, and gradually the reactions will diminish. But if we make a vow not to perform sinful activities, and we keep on performing the same sinful activities, then we will not become purified. We'll actually become, as Prabhupada said, putrefied. You know what putrefied means? Rotten. Contaminated and rotten. So we may imagine that we have our credit card for sinful reactions. I charge it to my spiritual master. Whatever sinful reactions I get, I just charge with my credit card to my sinful reaction. He pays for them, and I'm debt free. But that's not the way things work. It's one has to become sincere. And then if one is sincere, then Krishna will reveal himself, because it's by Krishna's revealing himself that our material desires are burnt up. The actual lust, anger, greed, all our misconceptions are actually dissipated in the fire of ecstasy of Krishna's association. And then we won't be influenced as much gradually. As Krishna gives us more and more of his association, then we're influenced less and less by the impulses arising from ignorance and the impulses arising from the senses, so that we can perform devotional service, remain fixed in our desire to serve Krishna, and therefore become a better and better instrument for Krishna with our body, mind, and words, and so that we can remain under the spiritual influence, the spiritual energy, and not become influenced by the external energy. So in this age, Krishna has come as a holy name to purify us, but we have to make sure that we take advantage of Krishna's mercy and become purified, rather than taking Krishna for granted and thinking, well, I'll wait till the end of Kali Yuga and then I'll become serious. Tatastanudinam dharma Satvam Socham Dama Shama Palena Kalara Janakshantyaya Balam Smriti. Day after day, Kali Yuga is going to get worse and worse and worse. If you think it's bad, just wait. Tomorrow it'll get worse. You don't have to wait a long time. Just wait for tomorrow. You can wake up, read the newspaper, and think, wow, I thought it was bad yesterday. Whew. This is really bad. Every day, dharma will decrease, along with truthfulness, mercy, cleanliness, truthfulness. As long with strength and memory, everything will go down day after day. So if we think, oh, the holy name, I'll wait for my birthday to before I chant you, sincerely. Oh, we have to try to chant now We can't necessarily change Kali Yuga, but at least, just like if it's raining, at least if you carry an umbrella with you, it won't get wet. So we may not be powerful enough to change what's going on in the material world, but at least we can carry an umbrella, the holy name, and not get affected by it so much. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Moment of silence for those who aren't chanting. Okay. Khala Grantaraj Mad Bhagavatam Kidai.